Hi there, Good Word fam. Thanks for sticking with us. We are in what month are we in? June, yes. Thank you so much for listening. It's Tisha here with the Good Word, and we have an exciting guest joining us. His name is Yao Osei Owusu. Did I pronounce it correctly?
You said it better than a lot of other people.
Wonderful. So you are a gospel singer, a gospel artist. The Good Word is a faith-based podcast. We don't shy away from that. But the great thing is that we have something for everyone. You are from Ghana, but born in London, grew up in Virginia, and now live in Maryland. Did I get it all right? Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to learn more about you. Tell us a little bit about what you do, and you have exciting times in your life right now.
Definitely, very exciting times. Again, like I said, my name is Yao Prince from Ghana, West Africa. My name is Yao, meaning I was born on Thursday. So from the Ashanti tribe, we are honored according to the day of the week, right? So I was born on Thursday, and that means Yao. I just had a son this past Wednesday.
Congratulations, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much. I'm happy that he came right in Father's Day. I can actually celebrate his son, you know what I mean? So he came right there. He was born on Wednesday, so his name is Kweku. That's meaning he was born on a Wednesday. So yeah, from Ghana, but born in London, parents were immigrants. From Ghana to London. My dad had a scholarship to study abroad there, and then also came to America at the age of six when my family moved to America. We first came to Virginia, and I was really involved in everything music, extracurricular stuff in school, and then also in the community, and especially in church. I kind of grew my gift in church, and I was singing everywhere. And by the age of, I believe, 17, I was in high school, went to high school in Virginia. So I'm a real DMP guy, Alexandria Woodbridge, and all Maryland. But in high school is where I started really singing, traveling, and really, you know, discovering my gift in music, and realized, like, this is something I really want to do. And when I went to college, I went to Liberty University. Liberty's in Lynchburg, so Christian college there. And when I went there, I dropped my first gospel mixtape. I took songs. Basically, what I did is my parents were from Ghana, but I have more of an American upbringing, right? Because I was born in London but raised here. So I took some of our old songs, which are in our local dialect called Tree. I took them and gave it an American twist to it.
Wow.
And then I took American songs and I gave them African twist to it. So if you go on YouTube and type in Total Praise, the African version, Richard Smallwood gave me the permission to turn Total Praise, Lord, I live to the hills. But I did it like a Coming to America sound, like dum, 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 dum,
I love it.
So we did that. And then it was really a major hit within the DMV. A lot of African Americans were coming to discover our style of music, and Africans were coming to discover the style of the Americans, because I was able to bridge the gap. And
so that's what you're known for. Yeah. That's your jam. Yeah. That's your claim to fame, which is absolutely wonderful. You know, people who know me know that Coming to America is my favorite movie. I am not ashamed to say so. And I love how you gave this African spin to American gospel music. That's so wonderful.
That's right. So that's what I did. And it was amazing. People came out. So I used African-American background singers, and I taught them how to sing our local dialect songs. So it was just amazing. People were like, it was really great. So it was just a good crossover. But I felt God gave me this grace to be able to bridge the gap between African-Americans and Africans. Growing up as an African, there was a way Africans viewed African-Americans. And then when I went to school, I realized that there was a way African Americans were treating Africans. And I noticed that we allowed media and certain things to depict who we were without even actually discovering who we were, right? So my parents are African in London, or they watch all they see on news is African American brothers in gang, really issues, and there's more to us than that. But then African American brothers and sisters would see these shows that come on. Remember BET, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., like shoot a child, shoot somebody, and they see us in Africa, like no clothes on, they got flies on our faces. And I felt like, let me use the power of music, the power of the gospel, to actually bring these two cultures together. So that's something that I was doing. So what I've been doing and continue to do is bridging the gap with our African American brothers and our African brothers and sisters, and trying to get them to get to know each other using the power of the gospel and music. So with that, I started a group in 2009 called True Worshipers. What we did is we gathered young people into a room just to praise and worship God. I felt like praise and worship at church was something that people never really took advantage of or looked down upon. It was just a certain piece in the service, right? But I felt like, you know, if Adam and Eve never sinned in the garden, we'd still be worshiping, right? We preach today because we sinned yesterday. So I feel like worship is really what God wants, you know? So I was like, let me do it constantly and just worship and praise, man. And we had 300 people show up to our first one in 2009. It has been going on ever since for 12 years, and we have over thousands of people coming all over the world. Guests from Canada, guests from Italy, from UK, Canada, all over America. And we meet in Alexandria, T.C. Williams Auditorium. And we've just been doing that. But again, I just had this love of showing the African diaspora person, because being in Africa, one thing you got to understand, it's hard, you know, growing up in America, because you have two cultures to assimilate to. Your parents want you to keep your local tradition, but then you go to school and you're trying to fit in. So it was a very difficult upbringing. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me represent Christ to my generation, because an African tradition is very legalistic naturally. Without Christ, an African traditional home is a very moral but very legalistic in a way. Don't do this, don't do that. You don't need Christ to tell an African to tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. So when somebody gets introduced to Christ to a legalistic tradition anyway or background, they OD it. It's those times too. It's like, yeah, the Bible even says, and I feel like a lot of people in my generation were leaving the church. They were leaving the church. They didn't want to be in the church anymore because they felt like they couldn't keep up with the rules. But I did a study on Galatians, and I realized that Christ came to fulfill the law, and then there's only two really main important commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, you know, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And you fulfill the commandments of these things. So I wanted to represent Christ to my generation. That's why True Worship started. I used a concert that started as a concert, just music, and over the years, we built it into a relationship conference, leadership conference, and, you know, faith-based conference. And so it's something that helps the believers to life. And I wrote a book. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about that today, but I wrote a book called The African Elephant. Why young people are leaving the African diaspora church or the Black church. I've noticed that my friends will go to college, and then when they're coming back home, it's either they leave the Black church and go to a mixed church, or they just leave the faith all together. And I wrote a book. I'm trying to teach the older generation how we can retain my generation in the faith. And there's some things they would have to change, and there's some things that we also would have to be humble about in order to coincide together. So that's just kind of the things I've got myself into.
You know, you bring up a really interesting point about people leaving the church, and I think it really does start with college, because obviously before college you're at home, you're under your parents' roof, and you know, many people, you do what your parents tell you to do and you go to church, and some people want to and some people don't. But it's really when you get to college that is the determining factor on if it was real or not, if the foundation was something that you wanted to do or something that you were being forced to do. And that's kind of the crossroads. Some people go, some people don't. Some people don't go as frequently. Some people go when they come back home. But the statistics do support what you're saying, that there is a drastic drop in people that are going to church in terms of the building. And obviously the pandemic didn't necessarily help that. But what I do think is that the pandemic also allowed people to develop and fuel their own personal relationship with God, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that as well.
Very true. And I agree what you're saying. A lot of people, like you said, a lot of people are leaving our age, are leaving the church. And the reason, one of the reasons that our parents spent too much being in church and not being the church. And I think that was one of the issues. Like, you can see a mom playing the tambourine, serving the pastor, serving everybody else in church. You come home, she's not talking to her husband. You just couldn't really realize, like, this is mom at church, or this is dad at church, or this is when dad comes home, he's hitting mom. And so people never thought this thing could be real, because we, at times at home, we never really had the best representation. Sometimes church robbed people of their parents. I tell people all the time, I read in my book, my dad never came to any of my games. He never came to any of my stuff I had going on. He would be at Bible studies, he would be at other things, and when you grow up, so if care's not taken, you resent a lot of things. And I think another thing is that a lot of times they project culture and tradition and not Christ.
Mm.
So if you notice, a lot of young people don't know so much about the doctrine of the divinity of Christ and what he came to do, and how he came to set people free, and why sinners need him. And I tell people all the time that the Bible says, and Paul, on his way to Damascus, right, met Jesus and struck him down. My point I'm trying to make here is that Paul was on his way to kill somebody. Let me just read it. Paul was on his way to sleep with somebody. Paul was on his way to do drugs. Paul was on his way to do something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and then Jesus met him. So I always tell people, the greatest people in the Bible were people who were the candidates that we would clap for now. But we've taught people in the church that you must come clean before you come in the church. Doesn't make sense. So people feel like they never attain the law. They never attain this righteousness. And Paul says, it is not works. It's not works, but we taught it to be works. And then you're saved. Nah, you know, it's faith, it's grace, and then through your faith in Christ. So we haven't taught them Christ. So everybody's like tired. We're like, nobody can keep up with the law. Just nobody can. So the thing is that when you try to attain righteousness through your works, you eventually get tired. And in a generation that we're in now, with so much information and so much knowledge and so much access to bad things, you're just going to want to take a break. And if that break you take, it can easily lead you into things where you might not even return. So I've noticed that a lot of people are just tired because of the gospel that's been preached or a tradition that's been put on them, and they're just like, yo, is this thing even real anymore? And I also think that the pandemic has helped in a way, because you're right. I think a lot of people realize that I probably didn't even like the church I went to, so I'm not going to watch them online. So
on the flip side, you have people like me, and, you know, I grew up in Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church with Bishop Alfred Owens and co-pastor Susie Owens in Northeast DC. Shout out to them. But people like me who realize, oh my goodness, I love my church and I miss going to church.
True. I'm a rebel, right? I miss going to church and I want to go back. But with the statistics that I did, some people are now using, because I don't know what's going on so much in the African American church as much, but it's listed in the African church. The issue the churches are facing now is this, that most of them weren't prepared for the pandemic, so virtually they didn't have what it takes to get everything going to get to their people. So a lot of people fell off of that. Two, now that church is now being reopened, the thing is kind of like, people are kind of like, oh, you're using COVID as an excuse. Right, but then, our weddings are packed. I saw a wedding where somebody snapped, like, last week. And I was like, bro, COVID is still here. Y'all need to calm down. But it's like, they will go where they want to and make an excuse for where they wouldn't want to. But some people like you, it's like, yeah, you want to go. I want to go. Like, I mean, I've actually been going. My church's not that big, so we're able to do what we can. But I think everybody has a place whereby a situation they find themselves. Some of them are tired, sis, and I think it's up to us to represent Christ to those who are tired and to reach out to them and tell them that, look, it's a life or death thing, man. You need to know Christ, man. It's a life or death situation here. And however I need to get Christ to you, I must humble myself to be like you. And that's the issue. The issue is humility. Paul says, I was all types of people to whoever I had to be. It's to be true. I was a Jew. To Roman, I was a Roman. I was a Roman, right? He had to humble himself to make sure that I'm trying to reach you. Whatever I need to do to reach you, I'll do it. The story of the prodigal son. The dad, the Bible says, when the son returned to himself, he realized that why am I eating with the pigs? I need to come back.
The prodigal son is a story that I am very familiar with in the Bible. And I think, you know, it is such a powerful story. One of the most powerful stories, in my opinion. And, you know, in this day and age, it doesn't just apply to a son. It can apply to a family member, friend, or loved one. But it is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's interesting that you mentioned that.
Yes, and it's a great part. And I think a lot of people miss this part that I'm about to bring up, is that when the father saw his son from afar off, the Bible says, and then the dad went running to him. Some people would be like, oh, yeah, now he came to himself. He's going to come back here, crawling back to me. I'm not going to run to him. Oh, he better come back and say sorry. Or he better just, you know, and our father generation, our mother generation, or, you know, even us, we're waiting for the world to plead to us to ride Christ away. Now, we have to humble ourselves, man. Jesus didn't tell us to build these big churches, bro. We are the church, right? He said, go and make disciples. Go and be witnesses. So as a disciple and a witness, you have to be like Christ. Right? The Bible says there were disciples, the first disciples were called Christians. Right? So the first disciples, they were trying to be like Christ. Christ left heaven in all humility, took his divinity off, in a sense, or left his beautiful place and came down to reach us. We need to do the same for the next generation. Because if we're bugging, Gen Z is about to be another issue. We need to find a way to really, like, come down to their level to reach them. That's why I'm reading every day. I'm praying every day. I'm not just reading my Bible. I'm reading what they're reading. I'm watching what they're watching. I'm understanding who they are. And then as I do that, I'm praying as well. I'm reading my word because, man, as the days keep coming, life is going to be a bit more wicked. We're in the last days, right? They said the Bible was written New Testament about 2,000 years ago, and they said in the last days, or these are the last days. If it was wild back then, in Paul's time, it was wilder now. And then when I'm dead and gone, it's going to be wilder for my son. You know, so we have to do our best. We got to humble ourselves. And anybody listening here, you got to understand, man, take off your suit, take off your crown, cast it down, and go and reach people, man.
So you are not only a gospel artist and a gospel singer, but I feel like you're a preacher because you are absolutely teaching right now. I want to remind people they can subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, and Google Play. And tell us a little bit about your music.
Awesome. Yeah, so my music, like I said, it's a flow between African and American styles. You can catch it on Yao Seiwusu on iTunes. You can go on YouTube, type in Yao Seiwusu, all my music will come up. Usually most of my songs are in my dialect as well, and some are in English as well. So when you get there, I can guarantee this, that there are songs from heaven. There are songs that we've redone as well, but they'll touch you, they'll bless you. I even believe, I've had testimonies of people listening to my music and being healed to the glory of Jesus Christ, right? So iTunes on YouTube. I don't know what really else to say, but it's out there, but just go and listen to it and be blessed. I think you'll love the style. You'll love it's different. It's unique. It's not really what you hear all the time. If you hear how rude is our God, we will take it and we'll add some African drums to it.
Listen, nothing is wrong with that. I look forward to checking it out. You know, you gave us a little taste earlier, so I know you cannot just sing, but sing. which is wonderful, which is wonderful. And then, you know, we always ask people who come on the podcast to share with us a good word. So what would you say is the good word that you'd like to share with folks who are listening?
The good word is two. I think one is seek God for what he's called you to do. And once you, we have too many dead men, dead women walking.
Listen, like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Powerful. Yes, yes, yes. Go there.
You know, yeah. I mean, we really need people to know what they're about, know what they're doing. A man who does not know his call, a woman that does not know their purpose, it will become a liability to somebody else.
Okay, listen, I need to repeat what you just said. He said we have too many dead people walking, and if you don't know your calling, you become a liability to somebody else.
It's true.
And let the church say amen. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was just so powerful. I had to repeat it.
And bless God. Like, we got to understand that God has called us for something. We must find what God is. But remember, if you refuse not to do it, it'll only cause a delay, but God will get it done. So you have to really make sure there's a song that says, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I think it's very prophetic that, Lord, what am I to do? Because I've seen rich men make money and still take their lives. And I want to encourage somebody that you must find out that thing through prayer, as to his word. And when you find it, have all confidence in God that whatever he has started, he will complete it. Don't let what a few people, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, know your past, right, affect the hundreds of thousands of people that are waiting to hear your voice. Because when those hundreds of thousands of people are waiting to hear, I told somebody one day, I said, look, until my Todd told me his past, I knew nothing about his past. I was more concerned about his present. Until he confessed what he's been doing, what happened in his past, I knew nothing about it, a month that I care, you know? And it made me realize that some people may have known his past, but and they may have talked about him, but he still affected millions of people. Don't let a few people get in the way of you affecting the millions of people that God has prepared for you. So please get to know the will of God for your life, and don't be afraid. He's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of the love, power, and of a sound mind. So God bless you, sisters.
Well, listen, I was truly blessed by everything that you shared, and it was so unexpected. You know, we have all different types of people on the Good Word podcast, writers and singers and authors, and definitely you have a calling and a gift, and I'm so glad that you shared so much wisdom and insight with us. For people who want to listen to your music, stay in touch with you, check you out, find you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so please, you can find me on Instagram. I'm kind of more active there at YAW_WUSU. At Facebook, my full name, Yahweh Wusu. And then on iTunes, on YouTube, Yahweh Wusu. You can find me there. God bless.
Well, gospel artist, gospel singer, and just... I want to say preacher, Yao Ose Owusu, thank you so, so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be following your journey. Please follow ours. And everyone, make sure you connect with us. We are on Facebook. Just search the Good Word Podcast. And again, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, and Google Play. Yao, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jamal.